This is LPM for LPM Podcast. You have joined us on December 13th for our 13th episode.
Dun, dun, dun.
I am your hostess of the horrid, the girly of all things ghouly and ghastly, or grizzly and ghastly, or grizzly and ghouly, your compare of cheese.
Ghouly, grizzly, ghastly?
Not ghastly, ghastly. And I am here with El Sammy Bisto and Puppies of Purgatory and the Feral Ferret. You were just listening to Bildmeister Transistor. Tonight, we have decided to review a movie that we watched a long time ago, but while perusing through our collection for this special 13th podcast, I came across it, so I remembered it being kind of twisted and creepy, so we watched it again to get some details for today. It's called Sublime, and it was filmed in 2007. I think it was a movie that went straight to DVD.
That's the good ones.
That is the good ones, isn't it? The IMDb summary says, on the day after his 40th birthday, the family man and computer analyst, George Greaves, goes to Mount Abaddon Hospital for a routine procedure of colonoscopy with Dr. Sharizi. Along his birthday party, his friends and family tell many cases of medical errors, and George is worried. After the surgery, George finds that his surgery had complications because of a homonymous patient. Oh, that means the name was spelled the same, but the patient's name was Jorge Greaves. And he had received a thoracoscopic sympathectomy instead. While interned, George discloses bizarre and dark secrets about the east wing of the hospital while his wife and family have to take a decision about his fate. So it stars Tom Cavanaugh, and if you don't know who he was the main character in that show Ed, where the lawyer owned a bowling alley and he like did all his law services out of it. But he was also in one of my favorite TV series for a short while. He played JD's brother in Scrubs. Sing it.
I can't do it all on my own, all right. I know Superman.
Dunk, dunk, dunk. Yay, old Sammy Bisto. The movie kind of starts with this artsy-fartsy scene with rainbows and, like, it looks like little cartoon claymation project landscape. And George, that's Tom Cavanaugh, he's falling and bam, he wakes up in bed. And he and his wife start talking about falling in sleep and, like, when people die in their sleep, maybe it was people who die in their sleep actually die because they complete the fall and go splat. Yeah. So, it's his birthday, but he has to prepare for his colonoscopy the next day. And all I want to know is, who'd schedule something like that the day after their birthday? Like, he doesn't even really get to celebrate because you have to be on these clear liquids and you have to drink this huge gallon bucket of, like, colon clear stuff. And let's just say I had surgery years ago and I had to drink stuff like that. It had the smell of cherry, the consistency of milk, and it was clear. But yes, bowel evacuation did commence promptly. So since, you know, he's only allowed clear liquids on his birthday and he's got all these friends over, but he did smoke a joint that night and he was drinking red wine. I don't get it. Instead of a birthday cake, they gave him a wiggly jello mold with candles in it. Yum. Yuck. Ah. But I did like their celebratory photo they took at his birthday where they all posed in a replica of the Last Supper painting. That was kind of cool. So, you know, he's going in for his, common, easy procedure. the colonoscopy. And he has a nurse, Zoe, who, I have to say, never seen a nurse dressed like this. She's got a little white dress, short, with the white stockings, with the seam up the back, and she's wearing high heel white shoes with the little hat. Did she have the hat? Maybe I'm just thinking the hat. No, she didn't have the hat. But, you know, I've never seen a nurse like that in the hospital. At least not since what? And I wasn't around, like, in the 60s when you could still smoke in hospitals and drink. But then he starts talking to the doctor, and I don't know I'd go through with it when the doctor starts telling him how all the computers are down, there's construction going on in the East Wing, they even had trouble finding his records. I mean, that's some telltale signs right there that something is going to go wrong, eminently is going to go wrong. And as they put him in the wheelchair to go down, they scratch his leg on the wheelchair. And that's just ew, you know, because you know those wheelchairs are filthy because they don't wipe those suckers down after they use them. And you don't know who's been peeing and pooping in those things down the sides. They're riddled with funk. So you know, or at least I was feeling, that scratch is going to turn into an infection some kind of way. So he wakes up after and he's like, everything went right, okay? Right? Except there's a power outage. That's just wrong. And they're using emergency lighting. He's sweating profusely. And he sends Zoe to go get the doctor and, oh, hot nurse. That's what he's thinking. Hot nurse. Except his side is hurting. And he looks down and he has this incision and stitches. And he's like, what the hell? And then he passes out. There's a lot of that, like where he wakes up and passes out. And when he passes out, there's a lot of flashbacks that he keeps going back to his birthday party, you know, the night before his colonoscopy. And his brother's there, and his brother's making him feel bad because his brother's like this adventurous dude who goes travel all over the world and does whatever he wants. And George is kind of like a stickler, has a corporate job, never does much of anything fun. And George keeps pressing for the nurse on that little remote thing and trying to change the TV channel, but it doesn't work. The TV's stuck on like a home shopping channel that's showing off all these garden tools and knives. And this other guy comes in and he tells him, you rung for me, and it's this black guy in, like, white with a red bow tie and a nice black belt, and he's all spiffy looking. And he's Washington from Welcome Back, Mr. Carter. And he keeps coming in and changing his IV, but the IV looks really weird because it's, like, all white and milky, kind of gross looking. And he keeps asking, every time hot nurse comes in or anybody comes in, he keeps asking for the wife and the doctor. And the hot nurse always says, you know, oh, they're coming. And let's see. Oh, in one of his flashbacks to his birthday, they were all talking about iatrogenic deaths. That's deaths caused by things you were never in the hospital for in the first place. You know, like wrong surgeries or infections, or they made boo-boos that killed you. They had wrong things. So when his wife and doctor finally show up, they tell him, you know, there's been a mistake. There was a scheduling error on the surgical floor. Yeah. So his Dr. Sharizi's got to get some other old doctor to come in and explain what kind of surgery they actually did. Oopsie. They actually gave him the thoracic sympathomimectomy to stop the sweating of palms because it was the other guy, Jorge Greaves, instead of George Greaves, who was getting that surgery. And they accidentally gave it to him. That's why he's got the hole in his chest. And he's having a compensatory effect causing him to sweat profusely in other places. Oh, and his leg's itching too. Yeah, remember that scratch? Yeah, yeah. Itchy leg. That's not good. I told you, dirty wheelchair. It's going to cause him something.
Pee pee and poo poo.
Yeah. And I think the part where no matter how sick I was, I would have dragged myself out of there any way I could was when George woke up and the black guy with glasses and bow tie were on the other side of the curtain in his room, cutting off his roommate's hand. Yeah, the only smart thing he did at that point was to pretend to be sleeping when the guy throws back the curtain and checks on him. And after yet another flashback, I don't know, some of the flashbacks I found kind of boring. He starts buzzing for the nurse again, and he's like, hey, where's the guy that was in the bed there? The guy covered in bandages. He's gone. That black man with the red bow tie killed him. I'm telling you, nurse, he killed him. He killed him. He killed him. And just then, the black man walks in to change his IV. And George is like, hey, I don't know your name. What's your name? You know what his name was?
Mandingo.
I know. It's just crazy. Mandingo. And George actually talks hot nurse Zoe into taking him to the east wing of the hospital that's under construction, because from his window in his room, he thought he saw his wife Jenny over in that east wing walking around in the construction zone. So he's like, you know, I gotta go over there and find her since she's never coming to see me. And what do you know, they wind up in a file room over there because Zoe brings him in the wheelchair with his IV over sure, to, yeah, why not? And he finds his file complete with photos. And he's like, get me out of here. I just want to go home. And there's all these creepy things happening in the hallways of the construction area as she's wheeling him out. Things that, I'm just saying, like, any normal nurse wouldn't just walk on by as normalcy in the hallways. Like, surgery. Kids coughing on the dirty floor.
Surgery.
Surgery. Surgery. Surgery. Oh, that was a great movie, too. Repo. Genetic Opera. And his wife was screwing Dr. Shirazi, like, in a
built... Inappropriate place?
Well, yeah, inappropriate place. But it was, like, in a cutout doorway window type area. And you start thinking, like, something ain't right here. Just something's not right. Of course... This probably goes with his flashbacks when his friends were talking about immigrants and cheap but non-essential surgeries. We didn't realize the first time we watched this movie how racially, I don't know, like, in not in depth, but just all this points of immigrants and racial stuff that was kept being brought up. I guess the first time we watched it, we were just like, oh, creepy, twisted. And the second time you watch it, you start realizing everything they were talking about and then what the images mean. It was kind of weird. I don't know. I could have done without all that part. But, I know. So now they've got, all of a sudden he's in this room talking with doctors and the hospital's attorney, and all he keeps, like, slamming his hand on the table. He wants to get out right now, but they tell him, oh, leaving is not an option. Besides just screwing up his surgery, he's now got a staph infection in his chest from the wrong surgery, and he's got a streptococcal infection in his leg, and it's causing necrosis, so his leg's rotten off. Yeah, yeah.
Streptococcal.
Yeah. Now he's looking at an amputation, and I don't blame him for wanting out, and I don't see why his wife and his friend, who's a lawyer, don't get him out and bring him to another friggin' hospital. You'd think after all this stuff that's gone wrong, yeah, it'd be like, get me the fuck out. So he's, you know, out and in of consciousness, and when he wakes up this time, yeah, Nurse Zoe's there, doing a little striptease action because she's willing to give it up to him because she feels bad. I guess this was the best part of his waking up. She rides him backwards like a cowgirl, but you know, I hope she wasn't hurting his stump sitting on him like that. Because she was sitting on his leg that just got chopped off, the stump that was left. I guess he didn't care at that point. I guess this is how she wanted to make him feel better from giving him that scratch that made him get his leg chopped off in the first place. And at home, shopping station, still on his TV the whole time. Can't change the channel, no matter what. But now they're showing all his birthday presents that he got, and they're up for sale. That's weird. And now poor George is really starting to think something ain't right here. And he flops himself down on the floor and somehow gets himself into a wheelchair and starts hightailing it down the hall. And I think he's going to leave, like try to get out, but why in the hell would he go back to the construction area? And then he gets in an elevator in the construction area. Then he gets pissed when it kind of stops and starts flying down to get stuck. But then it opens and he finds himself in the Immigrant Cheap Surgery Center. I don't know what floor it was on, but it was there. And there's a crusty old nurse that tells him he can't leave because he doesn't have a number. And then when he gets his number, he has to wait his turn. But he falls out the wheelchair and he starts crawling out and he makes it outside into the daylight. Yeah, yeah. And you think he's gonna get help by all those people sitting by the ambulances, all those paramedics and crap that see him crawling out the door with a stump and his ass hanging out of a gown, right? No? You're right. Mandingo. He comes and drags him back in. Evil Mandingo. And when he wakes up this time, his son's videotaping him. And the poor bastard's on a vent. And that's pretty bad. So you can't talk because you got a tube down your throat. And in all reality, if you're on a vent with the tube down your throat, pretty much, you're not going to be in any state of consciousness. Because they have to put these things in to prevent you from biting your tongue and biting the vent. These little contraptions. But anyway. He wakes up and Mandingo kicks his son out. And it's time for George's lesson. Mandingo is evil. He straps George down. And he jumps on top of him, telling him all these things like demonic things. And he's been fucking with his dosage in his IV. He's like telling him he's all these crazy fear things and he's the whatever in Africa and he's the this to this culture and that to this culture. And Mandingo's going to set him free from his fear. So out come the garden shears. And I thought he was cutting off George's thumb and another finger, but he was just like using the shears to cut like up between the fingers in the wedgie parts. But that's still pretty owie. I would think that's pretty owie. But wait. His fingers are fine and he's not on a vent. And his whole family comes in. I know. His whole family's coming in to see him.
Yeah.
And his eyes are open, but he's kind of comatose.
Ooh.
Yeah. So now the doctor needs to explain what happened to George, to George's brother, because George's brother was in Africa and one of his, you know, fun exploration-y things. And actually, there was no screw-up. No. He had an air bubble go into a vein that caused cardiac arrest and coma, then the vegetative state. So it was like something rare. I mean, it was something that happened, but it wasn't like an intentional wrong surgery or anything like that. And so what George has been experiencing this whole time were his fears. Like one part they had his daughter with a lesbian lover and his wife screwing around with the doctor and the son videoing him with no remorse to put him on the internet and his black man fear. And then we have Mandingo starts working on George's toes and feet now. So poor George is like in hell.
One foot? He only had one left.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yep. That's true, because he had a stump. So George is in this vegetative state with no brain function, and he's being kept alive only by medical intervention. And he's been in this vegetative state for like 7 months. And the lawyer and the doctors are, you know, maybe it's time for y'all, the family, to make a decision. And in George's mind state, where he's at in his dream state, even his nurse has been played victim to Mandingo and is all chopped up and bandaged up in the bed next to him. Poor hottie nurse. I know. So George had executed a living will, folks. And, you know, the doctors and lawyers are telling his wife and family that he has a living will. And just then George smiles. So the family thinks maybe they should just keep him going on the machines. Besides, they have insurance to keep him going. But little do they know that they are keeping him going just to be tortured incessantly by Mandingo till the insurance money runs out. And the doctors and lawyers, they recommend taking him off, though. You know, what to do? What to do? So Jenny, his wife, she's like, there's a person in here. My husband is in here. And just then his brother says, Jenny, you know, maybe you should set him free. Jenny says, no, I can tell he's in there. And by just looking into his eyes that he's happy. So they cut to George and he's in his own hell, all chopped up and lying in a bed of blood. Happy, you know, he's happy. So flash to a year later. And Jenny's talking about how a year ago, she was only thinking about herself. She was selfish. And you're thinking, yay, finally, poor George is going to get relief. She's going to take him off the machines. But now, she's decided to keep him alive for the rest of her life. And you see this single tear go down his face. And they flash to bloody George again. And then in his head, he remembers like what they talked about at the beginning of the movie. About falling in dreams and dying in your sleep if you hit the ground. So George knows what he has to try and do to get away from Mandingo. And he takes his little IV pole and busts through the glass. And he jumps out the window. And he's finally free. So with the cover of this case says it's sublime. When what you fear becomes real. Yeah. Dun, dun, dun. Don't know. What did you think? Eh.
Better the first time.
It was better the first time when we didn't realize all the political propaganda.
Yeah.
Being wielded.
A little slow, I guess.
It was a little slow. Yeah, because it was like, I want to say it was like 113 minutes or something.
Probably would have been a better half hour, hour.
Short. Yeah, I agree. And just a side note, I finally watched Descent.
Yeah.
I know, I kept hearing about it, so I finally watched it. The beginning of that was freaking slow as hell.
Yeah.
That's why I kept putting it on, and I'd stop it for the past, like, 2 weeks trying to watch it. My only question was, oh, what was her name? Juno. The black-haired chick. I'm trying to think, because at the beginning it made me think that Sarah, the chick that her husband and daughter got killed in the car crash in the beginning, it seemed like in the beginning they alluded that maybe Juno was having an affair with the husband. And maybe
talk about this.
Another time? I just had a question about, because the end, I'm like kind of lost. I guess I'll have to watch it again.
Just watch the last half hour.
I know, right? With the creature-y things. Okay, I'll talk about that another time. Sorry. Little tangent there. Went off. So we'll come back in a little bit and, you know, we'll leave you listen to some music and we'll tell you about that when we come back and upcoming events. So see you in a few. We'll be right back.
written by Mr. Richard S. on the drums.
Love you guys. All right, we're going to do one now by Mr. Gar Francis. Right off the EP. LP, whatever they call these days. CD, LP, EP.
Songs you were just enjoying. There was Ezzo with Gina Wild, The Doughboys, Too Little Too Late, Les Punks du Samedi, Energizer Infrared. Now we have some wonderful upcoming events to tell you about. Burly Cute presents Naughty Noel Burlesque. That is this Thursday, the 16th, and next Thursday, the 23rd at 8 p.m. That's at Bender's Tavern. You can get tickets and more information at www.burlycute.com. I'm pretty sure tickets are $10 pre-sale and $12 at the door. And there's only two shows. Then we have St. Nick's Bag of Tricks Burlesque Comedy Music and Toy Drive. That is this Friday, the 17th at 8 p.m. at the Oriental Theater. That's 4335 West 44th Avenue. And the burlesque is by Lady Shanna May, Cherry Poppins, Annabella LaFontaine, Veronica Van Tassel, Mercy Me, and Shotza Uzo. You can get more info at that at theorientaltheater.com. Then on Saturday night, lots of holiday shows. Down in the Springs at the Black Sheep, which is 2106 East Platte Avenue, Peaks and Pasties Holiday Striptacular. And that's going to have me and Lady Shanna May and all the wonderful women of Peaks and Pasties, Lola Spitfire, Ruby Sparkle. You can find more info on that at blendyourlife.com. That's going to be a fun show. That's going to be the first time I ever performed in the Springs. And when I talk to Lady Shanna May, it's her time too. So we're going to be Colorado Springs virgins. Woohoo! We're going to get our cherry popped in the Springs for burlesque.
Cherry Poppins isn't there.
I know. So enjoy listening to a little bit more music. And we're going to come back and wrap it up, talk about a few other little things, and wrap it on up for you.
I rode into a storm and broke my old mic that's shaking, and my shoes are shrunken. Down the city you go, but I won't want you all. The wheel of life.
Okay, that was My Mind, Wheel of Eyes, The Disappointing Fantasy, Chocolate Chips, Fed Up With Myself. I kind of like how that goes together. Chocolate chips are fed up with themselves. And then it's either UT, Oot, Ut. I'm butchering your name. If you want to, you know, call in and tell us how to pronounce it correctly, please do. With Rummy. I thought we'd give a little insight into it's a comic I'm reading right now. There are only 4 issues out, but it's by Rob Zombie. And it's called Whatever Happened to Baron Von Schock? Sex, Drugs, and Monsters. It's kind of...
boobies!
Yeah, there's boobies. In the one I read last night, issue 4, there was like porn on TV in the background. And it was Fuckenstein. Something with Fuckenstein. Ghouly Girl, I think is her name. Baron Von Schock is this guy, and it's kind of like a TV character, horror host, who's, I guess, similar to like our version of Morgus the Magnificent or Elvira. And I forgot how he got the job, but he booted some old dude out, and he became Baron Von Schock. And he needed this sidekick, and they brought in this little girl who smoked cigarettes, and she was really young. And then they had Wolfie, their other sidekick, and he only had one line he always said over and over. But eventually, I don't remember now. I have to go back to, like, the first issue. But eventually their popularity faded, and, you know, it was all sex, drugs, rock and roll, and monsters. And we flash forward, and Baron Von Schock is no longer Baron Von Schock, but he's living with his mom. And he's old and washed up, and Wolfie's old and washed up, and they go out drinking a lot and smoking pot. And he eventually, they go out, I think in Vegas, and they go to a strip joint, and he's thinking about how hot this tattooed chick is dancing, and it turns out it was Ghouly Girl. All grown up. And then he gets kind of disgusted with himself because he's like, ooh, she was just a kid and I think she's got a kid and everything. And she's stripping. But she also did porn to help her make her way. And one of them was the Fuckenstein one and he actually rented it to watch it. And then he was going to start jerking off and she called and then he felt all bad. But... so it's kind of interesting. It's kind of funny. Like I said, I'm only on issue 4, so there's not a ton that's happened yet, except for, yeah, there's boobies in it a lot. And it's enjoyable. I think it's kind of a fun little romp. So that's our episode 13. I feel like it should have been longer. I feel sad.
Unfulfilled.
I feel unfulfilled. Yes.
After the holidays, we'll do a double feature.
Yeah, after the holidays, we'll have to do something a little longer. You know, next week is dreaded Christmas, and we have family coming in for the whole week. So we're not going to have time to devote to a wonderful podcast. So we'll have to do it after New Year's. Or the week after Christmas, maybe.
New Year's spectacular.
A New Year's spectacular. Let's ring in the new year with something fun. A marvelous monstrosity.
And gory.
But we should have a marvelous monstrosity. A monster mash. As you will, to ring in the new year. And as usual, if you would like to leave comments, you can do so at lpmpodcast.com. Where is the phone number on our website? Go up. Ah. Right here?
No.
Hit back. Mm-hmm. Ah. And if you would like to leave us a message, our phone number is 720-327-4442. And if you're really nice, maybe we'll play it on the next podcast.
Maybe.
Or if you'd like to leave us like some recommendations for really cool movies or shorts or comic books or music. Or if you're, like I always say, if you're a band who wants to be promoted, like us to play your songs, we're happy to do it. And you can shoot us an email at lpmpodcast@gmail.com. And I guess we're going to have to bid adieu. Anything else we should mention? No, I guess not. But we'll leave you with a nice song as a parting gift instead of turtle wax or candy. I don't know.
Coal.
Licorice whips. I don't know. Whatever they gave on old TV shows. Yukonuba car wax. We're going to leave you with a band called Easy Action. And Bye Bye Baby and Friends of Rock and Roll is the song. So, until after Santa Sleigh Christmas. I don't know. Silent Night, Bloody Night. I'm just thinking of random Christmas movies. We say farewell. Enjoy your slaughterhouse of consumerism brought on by the masses that must have more and more.
Bye.
Bye.
When I hear, here we are with my dance around your throat. Ooh.